So what's the problem? Why are lenders concerned, and creditors in general a lot of times, concerned about substantive consolidation? Well, there are two possible prejudicial approaches. The first one is when you're dealing with two separate entities and creditors for each entity, one of the entities invariably has more assets than the other. So what you're doing is creditors of the entity which has more assets, which would receive a higher distribution, are going to be losing out because of some of that entity's assets will now be used to pay creditors of another entity which may have substantially less or next to no assets. More importantly, in the CMBS world, the concern is it increases a cram down risk. And in bankruptcy, what a cram down is when primarily a debtor files a plan of reorganization which provides for the treatment of creditors, which modifies the rights of the secured lender. And typically the way it's done is the debtor will try to decrease the interest rate while simultaneously lengthening the term of the loan. And in order to cram down a plan of reorganization, there must be a vote of one class of creditors of the debtor in bankruptcy. Now, the typical real estate case, that's very difficult to do because most of the cases that are real estate cases in bankruptcy, the secured lender is undersecured. And there are two types of claims generally. There's the secured lender's claim, and there's a relatively small amount of general unsecured claims. They all get to vote, but in bankruptcy, even in a non-recourse loan, that lender is given an unsecured deficiency claim, the amount of which would allow it to outvote all of the other claims in the case. That's pretty much the best insurance a secured lender has against cram down in a real estate bankruptcy case. When you have a substantive consolidation and you're consolidating the assets and liabilities of two or more entities, you're bringing in other secured creditors and you're increasing potentially the pool of unsecured creditors, so you're increasing the amount of unsecured claims that could outvote the secured lender's deficiency claim. What that does, it assists the debtor in being able to have a class that will vote in favor of a plan. So therefore, substantive consolidation poses a risk to the secured lender that his loan could be crammed down, his interest rate modified, and the term of his loan extended. So what is the basis for substantive consolidation? Substantive consolidation, there is no provision of the bankruptcy code for it. It is a wholly judge-made concept. It existed prior to our 1978 bankruptcy code, which is the existing bankruptcy code. So what is its basis? Well, bankruptcy judges, when they don't have a specific provision of the bankruptcy code to rely upon Section 105 of the bankruptcy code. It's a standard go-to for debtors' counsel. It's a standard go-to for bankruptcy courts when they're looking for authority to do something which is not specifically provided for in the bankruptcy code. So what 105 does is it says the court may issue any order, process, or judgment that is necessary or appropriate to carry out the provisions of this title. That one sentence is the basis for substantive consolidation in bankruptcy cases. Question is, who may be substantively consolidated? Typically, it's two or more debtors in bankruptcy. They're usually affiliated debtors. They're usually parent subsidiary entities. But it also can be debtor and non-debtor entities. So in other words, your lender may have lent money to a company that's not in bankruptcy, but a related company files for bankruptcy and tries to bring all of the assets and the liabilities of your borrower into bankruptcy court. How common is it? The case law all says the same. It says rarely granted. The cases in Texas talk about substantive consolidation as something which is subject to heightened security. The Third Circuit refers to it as rough justice. Now, from a practical perspective, how common is substantive consolidation? I've been a bankruptcy lawyer for 31 years. I have never seen a contested substantive consolidation. They almost invariably fail, and they will almost always fail in real estate cases. It is very, very rare that a real estate case that you'll have substantive consolidation. And how is it sought? Three ways. It could, motion practice is the most common. It could be included in a plan of reorganization, so instead of having a motion at a hearing to approve, which is known as confirmation of a plan of reorganization, the court will take it up then. The third is an adversary proceeding, which is a lawsuit, and that's typically done in cases where you're seeking to bring in a non-debtor entity in your substantive consolidate for substantive consolidation.